Joining us now to analyze today's headlines is Courtney Morris, Assistant Professor of African American and Women's Studies at Penn State University. Hi, Courtney.
Hi, Sonali.
WikiLeaks has just released a trove of documents that is causing an international diplomatic incident. On its website, titled Espionage Elysee, the anti-privacy group showed how the U.S. National Security Agency spied on the last three of France's presidents over the past 10 years, current President François Hollande, as well as Nicolas Sarkozy and Jacques Chirac. Not only has WikiLeaks revealed how the NSA conducted the surveillance, but also the results of the spying. Among the documents released are top-level discussions in France concerning the financial crisis, Greece's economy, its relationship with Germany, and even its position on the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. This morning, the French government summoned U.S. Ambassador Jane Hartley to its foreign ministry to discuss the revelations, and President Hollande released a statement saying, quote, France will not tolerate any actions that threaten its security and the protection of its interests. Well, Courtney, I can't help but enjoy seeing the U.S. be embarrassed internationally over its invasive spying. But on a serious note, could this impact U.S.-France relations?
Well, it certainly had a chilling effect on the relationship between the United States and Germany after the revelations that the United States was spying on Chancellor Angela Merkel's cell phone. And there continue to be tensions between the two countries, as we saw during the most recent meeting between President Obama and Chancellor Merkel. So I think it's very likely that we will see fallout from these revelations. I understand that there are more to come and that these will certainly impact our economic and diplomatic ties with France. But I think what's most important in all of this is really the timeline. And I think what we see here is that that the U.S. government has continued its global surveillance program even after the embarrassment with Chancellor Merkel, even in the face of widespread public opposition to mass surveillance programs in the United States. What we're seeing is that despite the lip service from the Obama administration about transparency and accountability, global surveillance is really continuing without skipping a beat. And that is a problem.
The U.S. Senate took a procedural vote on Trade Promotion Authority, or TPA, yesterday, and passed it 60-37, setting it up for passage within days. In fact, senators will vote on so-called fast-track authority for the Trans-Pacific Partnership today in a final vote. The entire process was restarted after the fast-track bill died in the Senate earlier. It was sent back to the House for a revote without an accompanying bill called Trade Adjustment Assistance, or TAA, which would have set up a fund to retrain workers whose jobs would be impacted by TPP. The House is promising to take up TAA at a later date. Speaker John Boehner, whose party has unusually partnered with President Obama on this bill, was confident that he would, quote, get TPA and TAA to the president's desk this week and deliver this win for the American people, end of quote. Well, Courtney, contrary to what Boehner says, is this a disaster for the American people?
I would say absolutely it's a disaster for American workers and really for any hope that we had of being able to hold the corporate sector accountable in the negotiations over this trade agreement. I mean, as you know, negotiations for the TPP have taken place largely in public without insight, oversight, or input from the public or Congress. And the leaked passages that we have been able to see, courtesy of WikiLeaks, are really troubling. What we're seeing is increased intellectual protections for corporations, increasing the ability of corporations to file suit against states whose domestic policies interfere with their potential profit earnings, and really a refusal to, you know, we're seeing workers' rights left at the door of the meeting room in the conversation on this trade agreement. So I think this is a truly disastrous turn of events for the American people, but a major coup for the private sector.
And finally, a horrific death toll in Pakistan is rising. More than 800 people have died from a record-breaking heat wave affecting the southern Sindh province. Prime Minister Nawaz Sharif has declared a national emergency, but Pakistanis are unhappy with his government's handling of the crisis and have begun protesting in various cities. The majority of the deaths have taken place in the city of Karachi. Pakistan's meteorological department told Time magazine that the heat wave was, quote, unprecedented and that it, quote, has never been this bad. A spokesperson for a nonprofit organization helping to treat patients at a hospital said, I've never seen such a big number of deaths because of a heat wave. The government has declared a public holiday for the rest of the week to encourage people to remain indoors and escape the heat. Earlier this year, more than 2,000 people in neighboring India's southern states died from a heat wave. Such extreme and record-breaking weather is wholly consistent with a warming climate. Well, Courtney, are people connecting the dots between such heat waves and climate change?
Well, certainly some people are. I mean, just earlier this month, India's Minister of Earth Science has stated unequivocally that the cause of the heat wave and the massive loss of life is undoubtedly linked to climate change. And the science really seems to back him up on this. The UN Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change released a report where they stated that temperatures in India were rising as a direct result of increased carbon emissions into the atmosphere. And across the board, climate scientists agree that one of the outcomes that we will see from climate change is the development of more extreme weather patterns, hotter summers, colder winters, fiercer hurricanes, and the attendant loss of life and damage to property that we'll see as a result of that. So, as I've said before, I think that really what these stories show us is that the people who will be the most impacted, who were really going to bear the brunt of climate change, are populations that are already vulnerable: the ill, the elderly, children, the poor, because they lack the material resources to buffer themselves from these changes. And that is it's a needless tragedy.
Right. And this month is the holy month of Ramadan, which is also making Pakistanis vulnerable. I want to thank you, as always, Courtney, for joining us. We'll talk to you again next week.
Hi, Sonali.
Courtney Morris is an assistant professor of African American and Women's Studies at Penn State University. This is Uprising. We'll be right back after this break.